Now, you are off to London later today, correct?
Yes, I am.
Excited to see the youngsters, I would bet.
Oh, it's always a good time. First of all, just being back on the rink and get the feel of hockey again. But the kids are, you know, they have a lot of energy. They were in there for the first day yesterday, and it'll be a good couple of days for them.
I'm excited for you guys to start because we can stop focusing on what the Calgary Flames are doing, Dave. A lot of rumors. I'll leave it at that. Let me say this. People were shocked, I think, when Phil Kessel said there hadn't been an approach to talk contract. Take us through an NHL GM. Is that terribly unusual? Everyone was panicked in Anaheim land, and they got Ryan Getzlaf signed, and they got Corey Perry signed. But I guess what I'd ask is, if the player says he's not talking contract during the season, that could be posturing, but that's a problem, isn't it?
Not necessarily. I mean, there's a couple ways looking at it. First of all, Tyler Bozak didn't talk during the season, and he was a player that wanted to play in Toronto. If the player wants to play in the city that he's playing in currently, he can usually find a way of getting a deal done. Secondly, we're not anywhere near the start of the season. So, the contract negotiations for a player like Phil, you know, if they take place at all, shouldn't take that long.
In your job, you have to think short-term and long-term, but safe to say, this player is so good for you. You have to extend him or you have to trade him. He might be your most valuable asset, and you can't risk him walking for nothing at the end of the year, can you?
Well, you can. I think it's probably the least positive outcome. But, you know, if Phil decides that he wants to wait till the end of the year and we're having a great year with him, and we're not getting offers that made sense for a player like Phil, then you wouldn't trade him. You'd see if you can have the organization go as far as it could and try to take your chances in the summer. But we haven't explored any of those yet. Those are far off. I'm a big Phil Kessel fan. I think he's a much better two-way player than people give him credit for.
Yes. Yeah.
I think he came around last year in a lot of different ways. I think because of his personality, some people think that he's standoffish, when in fact I think he's one of the brighter spots in our dressing room. So it's definitely not a case where there's any conflict between management and player. I think we're both happy with each other.
And Dave, what else do you need to see from Nazem Kadri the next season and a half, to the organization, yourself, are convinced he's worthy of a big long-term deal?
Well, if Naz becomes a player that we think he can be and the player that he thinks he can be, then he's going to be a very wealthy man. But his body of work is pretty small. And, when you look at 100 games, that's under a season and a quarter. And he has had flashes of being a very good player, and Randy's done a good job of putting him in situations where he's been able to have some success. But, we need to see him over a couple-year period to see if he can be a consistent player, if he can elevate his game so he's, a guy you can say is a number one center. And if he does those things, which we believe he can do, then, he could be a guy that you'd definitely put a long-term tag on.
Dave Nonis, our guest. Can I make the case, if I'm on Team Kadri, that he's proven more in the NHL than Jonathan Bernier has, and Bernier was quickly rewarded with a good contract, but more to prove, obviously, there as well?
You can, but the one thing I would say that fans and media alike rarely seem to look at is where the player is in his contract. Jonathan Bernier had salary arbitration. He played significant time in the league. He put his time in. Whether he played those games or not, he's playing behind the best goal arguably in the league.
Yeah.
Nazem Kadri hasn't done that. And it's the same situation that Michael Dazzotta hadn't done, and P.K. Subban hadn't done, and Logan Couture hadn't done. And those players, chose to prove their worth. And I think they're going to be wealthier because of it. They're going to get, I think they're going to be better players. And they've done a very good job, those teams, of developing their players. So, yeah, we can all make cases like that, but people have to look at where the player is in his contract. And free agency does certain things. It gives players the right to shop their abilities around the league, so those players get a premium. A player who has salary arbitration can point to other players who may have signed contracts that are elevated and say, I'm worth that. A player coming out of entry level doesn't have that opportunity.
You're talking about going to the rookie camp tonight, Dave, and Morgan Rielly is a name that's on the lips of many Leafs fans. After 9 games, how tempting will it be to keep him? And what will he have to do not to be staying with the big club this year?
Well, he's going to have to be in a position where he's going to be able to play regular, and that doesn't mean every night, but fairly regular. And you have to look at a player like that and say, where is he going to develop the best? if he's going to be able to develop here with us, whether it's a seventh defenseman or, you know, mixing in between 5, 6, and 7 and playing, you know, some significant minutes, and you look to keep a guy like that. There's no reason to send a player back just because he's on an entry level or because you can't send him back if in fact he can contribute and he's going to develop here as opposed to going back to junior.
Dave Nonis is kind enough to join us on Brady and Lang. I find it rare a team has considerable success. Your team has a lot on the roster that could make it successful, but it's tough to have it without knowing who your number one goalie is. You made a really great trade for Roberto Luongo, and everybody breathed easier knowing who the number one goalie was. Right now, I guess there's no decisive number one goalie. Are you hoping your coach picks one before the start of the season, and it's not sort of a win and you're in mentality for the vast majority of the year? Are you hoping somebody grabs the job?
Yeah, I think the last thing you said is what I hope. I hope someone grabs the job. I don't hope our coach picks one. I think that what we want to have happen is that one of these guys steps forward and really takes control. I believe it's going to be a fairly even split, to be honest with you. I think they're both quality guys. They're going to see a lot of games, and I think they're both going to go on runs that are going to, you know, make Randy keep them in the net for quite some time. But at some point, with two goalies like this, one generally comes to the top. But I think it's a good situation where they're going to push each other, and they're both good people. It's not one where there's any kind of animosity, or there's going to be a situation where there's jealousy about who's playing. I think they're both quality guys, and they're both capable.
Where do your negotiations stand right now, Dave, with Cody Franson?
We've made Cody an offer. We've talked to his agent over the last couple of days, and we'll continue to do that as we get closer to camp.
Jake Gardner's a player, it's probably fans and it's probably media. We don't see things you see or Randy sees, but fans wanted to see more of him last year. You're no stranger to that logic. Do you think we're past some of the things that would have kept him out of the lineup? There was a maturity late in the season in the playoffs, even though he was a scratch for game one of the playoffs, where he is playing a very notable amount of minutes for your team because of what he brings.
Yeah, I think we'll see more of Jake this year. I mean, first of all, I think we would have seen more of Jake last year if it wasn't for the injury. And for whatever reason, I don't blame anybody, particularly I don't blame Jake, mm-hmm. but there was he was hesitant in his play. And if you saw him play, whether it was with the Marlies or even the games he had with us, it wasn't the same player that we saw against the Boston Bruins. And I think that Jake, for whatever reason, decided that he wasn't going to let anything bother him, whatever was, whether it was pressure from above or whether it was the pressure he put on himself, he shed that and became the player that he was the year before. So there isn't any reason to think that he's not going to do that. I know that the coaching staff feels he's going to eat up regular minutes. He looks like he's by all accounts prepared to do that. And you know, when he plays like he played in the postseason, he's a very dangerous player. The one thing he did do in the postseason was he was committed to playing better in his own end. I mean, Jake's never going to be a shutdown guy, yeah. But he was tougher to play against a pretty, you know, heavy team, and he has to do that. It's not going to be all about offense. He has to play well on his own end.
What is it about the makeup of this year's Leafs team, Dave, that excites you the most?
Well, I think we're going to be able to score some goals. We've got some offense. I think our power play will be a situation that there are going to be guys moving in and out. There's not one set first unit, but I think Randy's got some options there. I think our goaltending depth is something we're happy about. And I think we're going to be really hard to play against. I mean, the days of coming in here and taking 2 points and leaving easily, I think, are over. I think we're much more competitive, but there's a lot of work left to do, too. We're still going to be one of the youngest teams in the league. I still want to see some players push from the Marlies to make our team. I think that was something that helped us last year. Should help us again this year if we can get some young players into the lineup. And we still need to improve. I mean, we made some significant strides, but we're not where we need to be if we want to have a chance to win.
Two things on Dion Phaneuf, and then we'll let you go, and we appreciate the time. One, where it's at with him, Dion Phaneuf, I guess right now, unlike Phil Kessel says, he's more than open to talk contract negotiation and contract extension through the season. And would you like to see him pair with a regular partner? He moved around a lot with different guys, Koska, Gunnarsson, Holzer on a couple nights. Are you hoping there's a good 1-2 punch on the blue line and a guy Dion gets really comfortable playing with?
Yeah, I think that Dion, he benefits from having a partner he's used to playing with. You know, some of the flipping last year was due to injuries, some of it was due to Jake and in and out a little bit. But I think you're right. If that can happen, it would help him. He gets settled, I think, with somebody, and he's a kind of a player that once he learns who he's playing with and the reads, it helps him. In terms of, you know, negotiating contract with Dion, he's a pretty easy going guy. He's not a guy that I think we get bothered by those types of discussions. So it's I think we just need to get into the season. I know he's looking for a good start, particularly, you know, he's got obviously our team that is very important to him and number, you know, he's number one priority, but I would say 1A is having a good start because he's still, you know, in the picture for Sochi, and that would be a, you know, a feather in his cap to make that team.
I look at him. Does he get a bad rap in this town, Dave? I look at him. I've seen his leadership grow. I've seen his maturity grow. We all remember being in our 20s. We get more mature in our 20s. Does he? Is he still dogged by things that are just beyond his control and that are kind of unfair, to be honest?
I think so. You know, he was a pretty young player coming in here. I think we think that he wasn't because he started so young, but... You know, Dion has done a good job here. He cares about this community. He cares about his team and his teammates. He plays significant minutes. You know, you look at the players he plays against whenever we have a difficult face-off on our own end, Dion Phaneuf is on the ice. And he's done a good job with this group, and I think our players have really grown to appreciate his leadership. And, you know, we expect him to continue to improve in that area.